it back, but I just can't resist. After every kiss there comes a lie, and now that's all there is for you.
Do you think that they have guns at Rent-A-Center?
Oh,
they
yeah.
get all the porno furniture?
Yeah, they get them. It's like how they used to have it at Kmart when Kmart existed. It's all just behind a shelf.
And, oh, yeah.
And a young man named Jeff will help you. And then in 6 to 8 months, you'll own that rifle.
How beautiful. That's the American dream right there.
Well, it's the American way. That's how it happens.
It is how it happens.
That's ammo is brought to you by Patreon.
Well, this episode is sort of brought to you by Patreon. It wouldn't have happened without Patreon, perhaps.
Perhaps, perhaps not.
Who's to say, really?
It could really be something.
I don't know, but So, let's tell a little story here. I, Boss, here on the Raincoat Report with Boss and Jeremy.
Hello.
And also Sally today.
Hey, y'all.
I was reached on our Patreon page by one of our wonderful patrons, this being Anthony. And Anthony, back in April, reached out and asked if we had a mailing address that he could send something to. He noted that he has a couple copies of a pretty rare pornog that we might be into. So,
I love rare pornogs.
Yes. So he sent it out to us, and it took over 2 weeks to get to us, but it finally did. And it, in fact, arrived at Jeremy's house while we were recording, and we had debated whether or not we should have his mom open the package and see what was inside. And I'll just say that once we saw what was inside, it might have been a good idea to have that happen.
Yeah, it really, I think, yeah.
Oh my God, I can't imagine.
It would have been something else.
So, yeah, Jeremy, you should talk about what you found inside the box.
Well, I think we kind of covered it at the end of one of our last episodes, but first of all, there was an ear.
Yes.
Yeah, I brought the ear last time. I don't have it this time.
Oh, you fucked up.
I did. I was handling it.
A lot.
Touching it. Yeah.
A lot.
I don't understand how people keep pet hair off their real dolls. This thing just gathers cat hair.
So, yes, it was the ear of a real doll.
Yes, the real doll's ear. It was a real doll ear, and with that came several stickers from Real Doll.
Oh.
Yes, and what did I say? Funeral planning brochure?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
I was a little disturbed at that point, but there's a reason for it.
Oh, okay.
And finally?
Oh, today's film.
Yes.
Regarding Jenny. A Real Doll Adventure.
Yes.
Starring Jenny Dinsky. I think she's Polish. Dinsuki. Dinsky. I don't know.
Dinske.
Dinske? That sounds like Asian. She's not Asian at all.
She, maybe. You don't know.
We don't know her origin.
I know her origin. She came from a factory in Erie, Indiana.
So
this teenage boys found her.
So we were quite surprised and pleased by receiving this package and seeing the film inside, and we decided that we needed to cover this on the show
pretty much immediately.
So after we got this in the mail and we talked about it on the show a little bit, Anthony reached back out and gave us a little more context here. He noted that the ear came from a defective doll. If they came out less than perfect, we would strip the silicone off and reuse the skeleton. He says he has a bin full of body parts he uses for Halloween decorations now.
Cool.
He also says that he ended up taking home one of the showroom dolls when they shut down. It's an Asa Akira doll, but it's never been used or anything. It just hangs out while my girlfriend smokes weed in the garage.
That's pretty cool.
Okay.
I think...
that's not terrible.
No, we're going to hang out with Anthony, and we're going to hang out, and we'd love to hang out and smoke some weed with your girlfriend, and I would love to do some bong rips out of Asa's butthole. if such a thing can be achieved, and I think it can. I think with the work of the Raincoat Institute, we can engineer any real doll into a bong.
Yes. Important work.
Any sex toy is my goal. I'm going to hollow out like a 2-foot long dildo and make like a pipe of it, perhaps.
Yeah, that's very doable.
Work. Yeah. Give me some drill bits. Give me some weed. And a lighter. And I'll be ready to go. I'll smoke right out of the tip.
Jesus.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, Anthony added that the funeral pamphlet is just because he was looking around the house for more shit to throw in before he sent the package off. He notes that he's working as an apprentice embalmer now. And he had a bunch of random papers like that laying around. So, you know.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't have to do any funeral planning yet.
Well, a series of very interesting jobs for Anthony, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's good to have a lot of experience, life experience, mm-hmm. and different fields.
Well,
Anthony, what? Well,
go.
No, you go.
Oh.
Go.
You were going to say something. You started a sentence.
You started a sentence.
Oh, my God.
God damn it. Okay, right. So.
Anthony, this bonk's for you.
Damn it. So, yeah, watching this film this week was a life experience unto itself. It's a film starring, of course, a lovely real doll named Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
The titular Jenny. Of regarding Jenny.
Yeah, she's the main Jenny. Though we will pay quite a bit of regard to, I believe.
So much regard.
And there's a cast of...
Dozens.
I'll say...
Oh, no, characters. There's like three people. Yeah.
There are not dozens of people. There's like five or six, and...
one of them is not real.
Or is she?
Well... That's a good question.
Yeah, it's one of the many questions this film raises.
There was an entry, and I can't find it right now because the site search is down, but there was an entry on the Internet Adult Film Database for a Regarding Jenny 2, which I haven't found other evidence of, but I haven't worked really that hard to try to find it.
I wouldn't work too hard on it.
Yeah. But, I mean, this film does end, we'll say, on a cliffhanger, so there could have been a sequel.
I suppose there could have been. It's all out there. It's really, she only just gets her start in this film, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's the first half of a film. Maybe we do need to see the second one to really get it.
You think?
I don't know. There could be a lot in there.
I'm sure there's something in there.
You know, it's like Twin Peaks The Return. It'll answer all your questions, maybe. I haven't seen it.
Twin Peaks The Return answers a bunch of questions, but asks more than it answers.
That would be the best case scenario, I think, for regarding Jenny 2.
Yes.
The new batch.
Oh boy! So yeah, that's regarding Jenny 2 from Marie Madison Productions, who included in the DVD box a little card to get 30 minutes of VOD.
Yeah.
From their site.
Yeah, we've got a couple choices. Now this is older, so I don't know exactly if it's still working or if there's new content. But we have one. It's called The Agency. It seems to be some sort of spy thriller. Another one called Talon's Reign. That seems to be a maybe like a Game of Thrones, Rome sort of fantasy history sort of deal. Then we have Forced Feedings 2. Gagged, Beaten, and Forced to Swallow all over again. There's a woman just kind of being like fish-hooked gagged on the cover. It seems like the content of that is pretty different from the rest.
Yeah.
So,
this seems a bit more niche.
Yeah, it's a bit more, well, I don't know. Making one with a doll is pretty niche, I suppose.
I mean, yeah, but...
But yeah.
I didn't know that the niches overlap.
Oh, they all overlap. But you can't make a doll throw up.
You cannot. Thankfully.
Well, I will say, I did a little research as we were sitting here, and MarieMadisonVOD.com doesn't exist anymore.
Aww.
So this is worthless.
And a quick search for Marie Madison on Google has not turned up like a new replacement site for them. So,
well, hold on, hold on. Did you happen to check out mariesplayplace.com?
No.
It cannot be reached. Lost the time.
Well, when we see the production values of this movie, maybe it was for the best. But, you know, I'm also a proponent of preservation. So, in a way, regardless of how much I wanted to see more Marie Madison productions, it is kind of sad.
Yeah, that it's gone. Like,
it's gone forever.
Like tears in the rain. Like, time to die.
Oh. Well, with that, I guess we'll take a quick break. We'll see if we could talk Jeremy down. And
not this time.
Damn it. Well, we'll be back to talk more, if we survive, about Regarding Jenny, a real doll adventure.
Oh, yeah.
So I drank another shot of courage, man, and I... I heard somebody whisper in my ear. Kiss the girl. Wanna waste a night away. Kiss the girl. Running out of things to say. Kiss the girl. She's gonna start to wonder if you're gay or if you could be the one.
This movie is, a lot more like that movie Solo, where the Nazis beat up all those children and make them eat shit. You want me to read the... Would you like me to read the back of the DVD?
Yes, let's go for it.
Okay. Like many girls in the valley, Jenny Dinsky had dreams of being a movie star, but the struggles of being a model in such a competitive industry was beginning to wear her down. So when her boyfriend David found her a gig in the small town of Erie, Pennsylvania, Jenny took the leap of faith and got on a plane to begin the adventure of a lifetime as a new contract girl for amateur porn star Marie Madison. That doesn't sound great for her career. With a new job and the support of new friends, Jenny enters the world of amateur adult entertainment and sets out to be the star she always knew she could be. Featuring hot sex and hilarious hijinks. I don't know. Regarding Jenny is the first adult feature film in over a decade to star in Abyss Creations' real doll in the lead role. Oh. With an amazingly sexy supporting cast, including... Regarding Jenny is more than just a film for the pure doll fetishist, but for anyone with a dream of making it big in a small town.
Firstly, I don't know, like, certainly Erie, Pennsylvania is small in comparison to, like, L.A. or New York, but, yeah. Like, I don't know if I would classify it as small town.
Well, you know, you say that. Let's see what the population of Erie, Pennsylvania is.
Okay.
Hold on. Got the zip codes for settled income tax rate. What's that? 1.18. That doesn't sound too bad. I think I'm going to move to Erie. But it's also the fifth largest city in Pennsylvania with a population of about 100,000.
Okay, that's not
it's not huge, but it's, you know, it's big enough to be called a city.
Yeah.
Sure. It's not a town.
Maybe it's like when people call Louisville a town.
Yeah. But I wouldn't call it a small town, though.
No, I wouldn't call Louisville a small town. I would call it the Derby City.
I hate you.
That's Erie, Pennsylvania for you. Fifth largest town in Michigan. 100,000 population. Oh, yeah. Erie, Pennsylvania, Michigan.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. Got it.
Okay. So, regarding Jenny opens with our titular star, Jenny, laying across David Hurley's lap as he tells her that it's a waste of time for her to go out there to build her resume. He tells her that he can get her work here. There's plenty of photo shoots available. This is the first of many scenes where there's a conversation with Jenny. And, of course, because of Jenny's lack of a soul, she doesn't respond to the conversation.
It's not even...
So,
I was expecting there to be at least like a voiceover or something.
No.
It's not even really, I would say, the lack of a soul. She doesn't even have like the animating magic that a homunculus would have. It's like a soulless creature.
That's true. That's fair.
But I think we'll find that Jenny spends a lot of her time in a non-sober state.
Well, that's true.
So maybe I think like her like conversation, she's just dulled, I think. To the world. She's numb.
But, yeah, to that point, we have to gather based off of what the other people in the scene say, what her responses are.
It's kind of like in South Park when, like, Kenny talks.
Yeah.
But, or,
there's Stewie. Probably,
yeah, Stewie, Family Guy, like, maybe he talks, but we don't know.
Well, like, we hear what he says, though.
We do hear
what... We kind as of, the audience.
It's a reverse Stewie.
You yeah, because everybody else hears
Everyone else hears him, and we have to think, can they hear him, or do they understand her? What is happening? It's a film that raises a lot of questions.
Yes. Much like Twin Peaks, The Return.
Yeah, just like... Let's talk about her Twin Peaks.
Okay.
David says it's not that he doesn't trust her, it's the people in LA that he's worried about. So we cut to David kissing Jenny's face and nibbling on her ear as some shitty 2009 rock music starts to play.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Oh, yeah, the music in this whole thing is not
great.
Yeah,
it's awful and grating and reminds me why rock music died as a popular music.
Yeah, it's completely understandable. This was like the era of the big post-grunge bands, like your Saving Abels and your Puddles of Mud and so forth. There's one specifically, I can't think of it, that reminded me of this. Theory of a Dead Man.
Okay.
They were real garbage. I hate them.
Well, David, wanting to get some action before Jenny leaves, pulls out Jenny's breasts slowly from the robe she's wearing. And he caresses them before reaching into her panties and beginning to massage her clit. He tweaks her nipples a bit more before kissing his way up and down Jenny's legs and then starting to go down on her. Now
she stares blankly ahead.
There is a nice touch here in that it cuts away and cuts back to her and she's got her hands on top of his head.
Yeah. Yeah, she can move.
She is slightly animated in this film,
yeah.
As we'll find. We soon see David produce his cock and start to rub it between Jenny's breasts and onto her lips. We then cut to Jenny on David's lap as she, quote-unquote, rides his cock. And he kisses her, gripping onto her ass. We get a shot of them slowly kissing as she presumably moves up and down on his cock. We cut to them side by side on the couch with Jenny holding David's cock. He asks her if she's staying, and apparently she's still going.
Oh, no.
He tells her to keep in contact with him. And that's when we cut to credits and some shots of the L.A. area as we see other shots of Jenny in a photo shoot. Then we cut back to what I later learn is the offices of Marie Madison Productions.
Yeah, I didn't know where the hell we were.
So one of the problems that's going to that I'm going to have going through this is they don't introduce any of the characters, and I have no idea who's who.
Yeah.
And it's only at the very end of the film where they show people's faces and their names that I know what their names are. Because sure. I think all of their actual, well, their stage names at least, yeah. are their characters' names.
Mm-hmm.
This film gets very meta as well in an annoying way, but we'll get to that.
But also, the only one you can really recognize, besides Jenny, of course, probably be Hurley, because he has his name tattooed on his arm. So he doesn't forget it. Before I knew what his name was, we made a lot of guesses.
We did.
It was like Mr. Quirky.
Because we couldn't tell what it was. And I feel like the H in the Hurley is the same as like the brand Hurley that was popular back in the day.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I feel like that's what the H was.
Oh, yeah, that's what he was going for.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
What was Hurley as a brand?
It was like, Skater Boys.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Blink 182.
Yeah, okay. That kind of stuff. You know, like you got your shorts that are probably baggy. You got a shitty shirt with a logo on it.
Okay, yeah, all of that is outside of my periphery, so I understand why I don't know it.
No, yeah, it was like big.
It was a thing.
It was big for a bit. I don't know if people still wear Hurley or not.
I don't know.
I remember being annoyed by it, because I was like, oh, this is Blink-182 stuff. This is for stupid little kids. I like the Sex Pistols. But, you know, I was wrong. I'd rather listen to Blink-182 now.
Well, at this point, through my notes, I'm just going to be referring to a bunch of people as like guys and some words about the descriptions of them, because I have no idea who's who other than David Hurley.
Yeah, I just started calling the long-haired guy Fabio.
Okay.
I called him Tarzan.
Oh, yeah. He does look like Disney's Tarzan. He decided.
Yeah.
But
is that also outside of your purview?
Disney's Tarzan?
Yeah.
No, I remember. No, the long-haired guy is John, but I think they call him James at some point.
Oh, yeah.
But,
I don't remember that.
I think it's the long-haired guy that we first see here, John James. He's working at a desk that, behind it has a poster for The Dark Knight on the wall, and he also has a Batman 89 cowl on the desk, and also there's a boxed South Park stuffed toy of the Thompsons, the couple with butt faces.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, I saw a South Park thing, but I didn't catch who it was.
And there's also a framed mugshot photo on the desk, which is definitely a reference, but I can't place it.
Yeah, I didn't put it in my notes, but I did notice you got the Joker poster from The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the rage in 2009.
Yes. Another guy comes into the room and asks where Hurley is, and the original dude says he's not Hurley's keeper. The second guy notes he's supposed to be here today, and he hopes he isn't moping around because of Jenny. There's also, I noted, a poster on the wall with the title, The Many Faces of Homer. And it's a bunch of Homer Simpsons on there.
I did see that.
I saw that.
That's from, the good days of Simpsons memorabilia.
Sure. I think this one was probably 2009.
I don't know.
Probably getting into some of the bad stuff a bit, but you know.
It looks like one of the ones you would have seen in the 90s, but it might be contemporary to the era. I don't know.
I think it is. I think I've watched enough Simpsons to know.
Okay. I trust you. So the second guy finally gets the first guy to go look for Hurley. So we cut to Hurley on his couch, and he's apparently watching Lars and the Real Girl.
Yes. Is that where you meant it gets meta annoying?
No.
Oh, okay. Because that is annoying.
No, it's later on when they talk about, like, making movies for a half an hour.
Oh, God. Okay.
Anyhow, he's watching this movie while he's eating Doritos and snuggling with Jenny's bra. The long-haired dude knocks on David's door, and he finds David, as he puts it, watching Lars again. And tells him that they're going to a block party together.
Yeah.
David isn't interested in going. The long-haired guy is super insistent and repeatedly yells, "Come on!"
This
goes on for way too long.
It's, yeah, it's like, what's his name? Ark. Killing me.
Ark Aardvark?
No, not Ark Aardvark, the director of Fleshpot.
Andy Milligan.
Yeah, this is kind of like an Andy Milligan type scene where they're just yelling at each other for too long. But this gave me worse anxiety than that. This made me feel like, remember when we kept trying to watch some kind of monster and I had to be like, turn it off like every 30 minutes? It was like that. I was like, why? They're just yelling back and forth. He keeps saying no. He comes up and just starts jabbing him in the ear. Yeah, it's like Andy Milligan.
Now, Andy Milligan movies are fun when people argue because they're just very over-the-top theatrical people.
Yeah.
Whereas these people are just like the sort of scumbags that you don't want to be around.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah. I would also not want to go to the block party.
Yes. So yeah, this ultimately doesn't work and he finally leaves. We then cut to David walking into Marie Madison's office. He asks her what's up, and she knows that he's been off his game lately, and she doesn't know what to do for him. She says she's seen Jenny's photos, and if offering her a contract would get David back to work, they should go ahead and make a deal. So then we see David call Jenny and talk to her on the phone as she's getting her makeup done at her photo shoot in L.A.
Okay. I was thinking about the Stewie thing. It's not so much the talking back and forth, but do they know she's a doll? Is she a doll in their world?
No, I don't think so. The only time there's ever a reference to that is just him watching Lars and the real girl.
Yeah.
Which I thought at this point in the movie, I was like, maybe she is a doll, but,
yeah.
But nobody treats her like one.
No, she's treated like a real person. But she's a doll. We can all see she's a doll.
Right.
I saw the seam. That's the first thing I saw. Her body seams.
Yeah, her
and
seams.
And I couldn't stop looking at them. Like, the whole movie, I was like, ugh.
Yeah, they should have
seams again.
Where are her seams?
Her seams are on the sides, not on the insides of her thighs.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
It's like, you know how I talk about, like, old dildos? You don't want to get cut by the seam?
Yeah.
It's like that.
Exactly like that.
Well, I think at least Jenny's body is probably a much softer material that isn't going to cut your body.
Yeah, you'd hope so. That ear's pretty soft.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, it was.
It's not like those old dildos that seem to be made of just some weird plastic that, like, probably isn't at all body safe.
No, so many cancers.
So many busted holes full of cancer.
Yeah. They're all, turn that vibrator on and it just vibrates the cancer out into you. Anyway,
David tells Jenny to wrap everything up in L.A. and come home. David leaves Marie's office thanking her, and as he leaves, Marie says, "Fucking Hurley." We then cut to the beach and see Jenny laying out in between two other ladies who are chatting. They're telling Jenny that she shouldn't leave. "What are you thinking?" One of them mentions that it's 50 degrees there multiple times. She repeats the same dialogue.
Yeah,
she does.
At this point, they hadn't really explained where the other place was, but later we learn it's Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Which I get it. It's certainly colder than L.A.
It's very cold in Michigan.
But they don't understand why she would move to Erie to be with this guy. Which I thought at the beginning of the movie that she was already in Erie and she was going to L.A.
Yeah.
But maybe she was in L.A. and she was visiting in Erie and she's coming.
So.
It's unclear.
Mr. Furley met them at Jenny like probably like a photo pornog conference or something in L.A.
Okay.
And hit it off. Like, he met her like at one of the display booths.
Okay, yeah.
Where she was on display.
Where she was in a glass case.
Yeah.
That was her modeling job.
And they hit it off, so she would go out and see him every couple of months. But she's like, I'm really trying to make it in L.A. But she spent all her money probably flying back and forth to see him when she could have probably just got a lot cheaper if she just flew in cargo.
She could have been UPS'd over.
Yeah.
Would have been much cheaper.
Yeah, UPS Ground would have got her there.
But you got to think she's still a person. She wants to travel in style.
I guess.
But, you know, put that bitch in a box.
Back with David, his awful friends show up, and he serves them drinks. Rum drinks. Clears, not browns.
Yeah.
You know how we think about that.
Yeah.
He asks, you know whose favorite this is? It's Jenny's favorite. He tells them that Jenny's coming and shows the guys photos of Jenny's most recent shoots. I noted here these men are insufferable. Their chatter here is so annoying.
It's super annoying, but everyone in this seems to have not really met Jenny before.
Yes.
And then presented with these photos, they're not like, this is a doll.
Right, yeah. No, they just talk about how beautiful she is and stuff, but like
color like Britney Spears.
Yes.
Yeah. 2009, she already shaved her head, you know?
Yeah. Because like, that was what, 2007?
She yeah, did something. 2008, 2007. She was going through it, you know?
Bless her heart.
You
know,
yeah, they compared, I think, Heather Locklear to. But, yeah, they have drinks and... One of the things that you'll find in this film is there are several scenes where everybody's, like, socializing and relaxing, but all they talk about is making their porno movies, and it's really annoying.
You liked it when Jess Franco did it.
That.
There's a difference between Jess Franco and these people. These men are no Jess Franco.
Yeah, they're not. They would be executed under the Franco regime. Yeah, I'm like with Sally. I didn't really notice them talking about it, probably because I tried to tune out the dialogue because it's,
that's fair.
It's agitating.
I was trying to tune into it so I could take notes if anything interesting or like plot related was happening, but it was just them yammering. Like, I just like these are the sorts of people that I could imagine like going to a social event with, and they're like a friend of a friend, and they're just going on, and I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Why won't these people shut up?
Yeah, why won't they leave me alone?
Yes.
Why can't I just be by myself at this social event?
Yes. The questions I ask myself at most social events, yes.
I get it. Ow.
We cut to a plane landing. It's here that I did some research because I saw that they were at Tom Ridge Field, and I Googled it and found that it was in Erie, Pennsylvania, and that's when I figured out it was in Erie, although it is brought up again later. Hurley has apparently picked up Jenny and is driving her around to some awful pop rock music.
Before he worked for DHS, Tom Ridge was the district attorney of Erie, PA.
Oh.
So, you know, and then he worked for George Bush, and then hopefully he died. Oh, no, he's still alive.
Okay. Oh,
there you go.
But yeah, there's some shots of Jenny's breasts as they're driving around in the car. Hurley asks her how her flight was and notes that he heard those bitches in L.A. wanted to keep you. He explains that he's happy that she came back and that Marie has offered her an exclusive contract, and he suggests they go to the studio. He tells her that she'd be doing some girl-girl scenes and try out some new toys, maybe do a scene with him, but they want her to be their cover girl. We then cut to outside the studio where Marie smoking a cigarette outside. David pulls up and lets Jenny out of the car. Here's where we get a shot of Jenny's feet stepping out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Does she have shoes? I don't remember.
Yeah, I think she has high heels on.
But it's clear that somebody, like, off-screen is moving her legs around to, like, plant her feet on the ground.
Yeah, she's drunk. She can barely stand up.
But she ends up standing there with her arms on the car door to prop her up.
Yeah, she has to.
Marie tells Jenny she's happy to finally meet her and that she loves her photos. David tells Marie that it's been a long flight, so Jenny needs a shower. We then cut to Jenny and David in the shower together.
Yeah.
And he's holding her with her legs around his waist, his dick dangling and bouncing up and down as he grinds against her and is not actually having sex with her.
No, there's not a lot of actual penetration in the film.
Yeah.
I think they didn't want to share that doll.
I don't know.
There's a little bit, but there's definitely multiple scenes where you can tell they're not.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What don't you know?
I don't know that David Hurley was inside of it.
Okay, yeah.
Well David was inside of her in the next shot, in fact. He's right. Fucking her doggy style as Jenny's head's just wedged in the corner, planted on the tile.
She's just crumpled up in the corner.
He's just slamming into her while her head's just knocking around against the tile in the shower. He, in fact, bangs away at her in this position for a bit. His long-haired friend then stops to take a peek at this before taking off. David then pulls out and comes on Jenny's ass. We then cut to some trashy dick smoking cigarettes at an outdoor restaurant. David, Marie, and some co-workers are talking. They're surprised Jenny turned down a bikini shoot that she was going to do in L.A., They talk about how DJ, who's one of the people who works there, is setting up new studio lights, and that's why he's not there. The long-haired guy asks what happened between David and Jenny in the shower, and David says, well, it was a long flight. They then call over to the waitress for shots, and one of them says he wants to forget his ABCs.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
That's the level of humor we've got here.
Yeah, hold on.
We see David bringing Jenny into the office and setting her on the couch, saying they could get busy right here. David pulls out some handcuffs from a drawer, and when he gets back to the couch, Jenny is already bottomless over the arm. He handcuffs her and then tells her that she's under arrest.
He didn't have to handcuff
her. Yeah, why do you need to handcuff her? She's a doll. She can't go anywhere.
Maybe he needed it for leverage.
This film's really tough on my suspension. Yeah. Like, every other scene, I'm like, she's a damn doll.
That's when David notices that he forgot the lube and steps away. The whiteboard in the background reads regarding Jenny and is probably where they're writing the outline of this movie.
Almost certainly.
David's shorter-haired co-worker guy, who we later learn is named Brad, I think?
Slightly balding.
Yes.
Compared to David.
He shows up and finds Jenny bottomless on the couch and says, maybe Hurley left me a gift. He slaps Jenny's ass and says he's going to grab a condom and be right back. Indeed, he steps away for just a moment and then drops his pants and starts to fuck Jenny on the couch.
He's inside of Jenny.
And I say, this is fucked up.
Is this rape?
I would say that you can't really call the... I mean, we can't hear what she says.
Yeah.
That's the problem in determining this.
Yeah.
We're getting a he said, she didn't said situation.
I would say that if nobody could hear what she says, then she could never consent. But apparently people can.
Yeah.
So we just can't be sure.
Yeah. Jenny is like a tree falling in the forest.
If no one's around to hear it.
Yeah. Well, even if people are around to hear it, you're not going to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So some shitty, trashy pop rock plays and he bangs Jenny from behind for a bit.
I think this might be the same song from earlier. I think that one, the first one, gets looped a couple times.
That might be.
But there are like maybe like three or four original songs. We looked at the credits. It seemed like there were like quite a few screens of original music.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All of it bad.
Yes. He mutters dirty talk and slaps her ass a bit. After far too long, the guy seemingly finishes inside of Jenny, noting he needed that, and it was fucking fantastic, bending down to kiss her ass as he pulls up his pants. He then says he has to make a phone call, so he grabs his phone and calls someone and curses them out about how he just went to DC and had to do some Discovery Channel shit. Apparently it's his agent, and he threatens to drop them, but apparently he gets some other job and is happy. But after this utterly meaningless conversation, Hurley walks in and asks what the fuck happened here, noting this is Jenny. The guy says he just walked in and there was pussy on the couch. He says he had never met Jenny before, and David says, well, now you have.
Yeah.
And he's a bit annoyed, but not as much as I would be.
Yeah. Someone had just fucked your doll while you were gone to get lube.
Yeah.
He took a long time to get that lube,
though.
Did he
go to the store? Gee.
I don't know.
I think he had to pop down to the Save Right.
So back in the office, we see Hurley making coffee and Jenny sitting on the counter. A redheaded woman walks in, and this is Jade Houston. She asks who this is and is introduced by David to Jenny. She says that she's looking forward to working with Jenny, and David says that he looks forward to seeing that. Jade then calls him a perv and asks Jenny to join her to hang out later. In Marie's office, she gets a call and is apparently asked if she represents Jenny. It's apparently a casting call for CSI Erie, and they want Jenny to play a dead body.
Oh, great.
Marie says that she'll let Jenny know right away. Marie says, CSI Erie? Jenny's going to be so excited. Meanwhile, up on the roof, Jenny and Jade are sunbathing. Jade tells Jenny that everyone who works here is cool and suggests that they get a drink in the lounge. Back in the office, the short-haired guy is apologizing to David for what he did. Again, I think this is Brad. He just thought that there was a, as he puts it, vag waiting for him on the couch.
I wonder how often that happens to him.
I don't know. I can't imagine a world where I would see a naked woman's vagina on the couch and think, I should put my cock in there.
That's for you. What if it was just a doll?
I don't know. Maybe. No. Yeah. Not at all.
No?
If it wasn't my doll.
How do you know? It could be for you. It could be, you know.
It could be a present, right?
It could be a gift.
Today is a gift. That's why they call it the present.
Oh, yeah.
David says that he and Jenny thought they were alone, and the guy says that he thought he was alone. He tells David he didn't want him to lose sleep over it. David says what he was surprised by most was that Jenny liked it. Brad says of course she did, but David clarifies that she might be into having a threesome. Brad says that he could be into that, and David says that he doesn't want his balls to be touching his, and Brad also doesn't want to touch balls.
Okay.
I think this is a point where I was like, if I see them spit roast this doll, I'm going to scream.
I am, well, we'll get to it.
Okay, all right. There's a few times I feel like that.
Well, there are a lot of things in this film that made me want to scream.
Yeah, this is it's a horror film.
They repeat a bunch of shit that they've said already. On multiple occasions, but David finally says that he'll talk to Jenny and maybe Brad can come over later. Meanwhile, Jenny and Jade are on a leather couch together. They're still in bikinis. I'm not sure. They were talking about going to the lounge, but I think this might be David's house, or at least the same room they've used to represent that.
I thought that was a lounge.
It's like a lot of shot on video horror films where you just use whatever part of your friend's house.
Yeah.
Like if you have like a bar in the basement that was like there when you moved in, you just, you know, you use that.
Right.
Yeah. That's your lodge or whatever.
Yeah.
Your lounge. Lodge?
Lounge.
The Black Lodge.
Yeah, the Black Lodge. It's also in Twin Peaks.
Yes.
Wow.
Jade leans in and starts to kiss Jenny and caress her breasts over her bikini top. Then, after a moment, pulls her breasts out of her top and licks and kisses them, rubbing them a bit. We then see Jade reaching into Jenny's bikini bottoms and stimulating her as she licks Jenny's nipples. We cut away again and see Jade naked on her knees on the floor, going down on Jenny, also now naked, leaning back on the couch. We cut away again and see Jade naked on the couch with Jenny going down on her.
Hmm.
We see Jenny's hand up on Jade's breasts as she's writhing in pleasure, pressing the back of Jenny's head towards her crotch. We then see Jenny bent over the couch in a doggy position with Jade eating her out from below. Jenny's head is sort of pressed against the wall.
Yeah, once again.
Yeah.
No regard for Jenny.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not regarding Jenny at all.
Oh, yeah. We then see Jade standing on the couch as Jenny is seemingly eating her out from a sitting position on the couch. They writhe around a bit, and then we see DJ, one of their co-workers, walk in and tell Jenny that they're ready for her. Jade tells him that she'll be there in a minute, and she and Jenny are cuddled up naked on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Jade smiles at Jenny as the scene fades out. We then see Marie walking Jenny through setting up a porn scene. She's going to blow Mark, the chubbier long-haired guy with gray hair. They explains it's a POV scene and the camera will shoot her face, and they talk about how the audience loves these types of scenes and notes Mark's heard that she's very good at oral. So, then we get this scene.
Yeah.
I remember this.
Would you describe it as POV?
No.
Okay.
I would describe this as over the shoulder.
Yeah.
We then cut to the intro of this finished scene. It's black and white. Not exactly POV, as I noted,
mm-hmm.
as we see the back of the dude's head. It's apparently called Jenny's First Facial in the credits we get. We cut to, in color, the opening of the scene as yes. Mark is rubbing his cock on Jenny's face
mm-hmm.
before pushing it into her mouth. Now, before the scene started, he noted something about how he doesn't make much noise in these POV scenes so that the audience could imagine themselves in the scene. But he does make quite a bit of noise.
Well, it's not like Jenny's, like, you know...
She's not making any noise.
Well, actually, she...
Well, she kind of is. Because there's... Yeah. Quite a bit of a squish sound as he's running around.
Yeah,
I was going to
say, yeah, it's in there.
He says lines such as, "I can see why Marie hired you," and, "Oh, you suck my dick so good."
Yeah.
This continues for quite a while.
Uh-huh.
He eventually asks her where she wants his cum, and she apparently wants it on her face. So after a bit, he pulls out and comes on her face and breasts.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "That's so slutty," and he rubs her face and calls her a good girl. Then we get a slow-mo replay of the cum shot.
Yes, we do.
I would rate this amongst the least erotic scenes of the year.
Yeah, it's maybe like the worst possible angle for like a blowjob scene.
Yeah.
On top of everything else that's going on. Someone could have been pushing down on the back of Jenny's head to make it look like she was sucking more than she was.
Yes.
But he chose not to.
Yeah.
He was kind of using it like a very large and complex fleshlight.
Yeah, yeah. He was just jacking off into it.
Yeah.
Well,
the thing about
this movie is that it's a bunch of scenes of people masturbating.
Oh, yeah.
The entire film is only people masturbating.
That's true.
That is very true.
You know, I didn't think of it that way until
me
now.
Me neither.
It's very deep. It's profound.
I was going to save that profound revelation for the end of the film, but no. I guess not.
You could have done it. You could have held it.
We see David making pasta in the kitchen. Jenny apparently comes home from going out with others for a drink, and David brings her a glass of wine. He tells her that Brad was going to come over tonight, but he didn't realize that Jenny'd be so tired, so he offers to draw her a bath, and we watch him do so.
Mm-hmm.
When David returns, Jenny has finished the glass of wine.
Of course she has.
There's
a couple other times that we kind of glossed through, but there's a few times where she has a drink and it's gone pretty quick.
David calls Brad and tells him that Jenny's tired and they have to cancel tonight, but they'll meet tomorrow for sure.
Yeah. Was he like serving her? Like the food he's serving her looks like some old like Kraft Mac. Like it had been sitting on the stove for maybe a couple days.
Perhaps.
Like we got to say it. Jenny's an alcoholic. That's why she's so sedate.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
We cut to Jenny laying in a bubble bath surrounded by candles. The camera roams to get seductive shots of this, including shots via the mirror.
Yeah.
This goes on longer than I would have anticipated. We see David join Jenny in the bathroom. At this point, she's sitting on the toilet, seat closed. And he tells her that he canceled with Brad for tonight and offers instead to pamper her. So we watch him brush Jenny's hair for a bit.
Yeah.
He's like erotically taking care of his real doll.
Yeah. He's rubbing her feet for a while and he powders and rubs her legs.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. That's how you take care of your doll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is like a maintenance video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An erotic maintenance video.
But you can't leave Jenny near an open flame. She is full of alcohol made of combustible.
There were so many materials. Candles in the bath.
Yeah, she's made of synthetic materials. She's not, you're not supposed to leave. And, and like I said, she's full of booze.
Yeah.
She's going to go up.
She's going to go up.
They cuddle and kiss for a while, and then we cut to the next day. Marie tells Jenny that she has a shoot today with James, and David has to get Marie a draft of a script that he owes her, apparently, that I couldn't make out, but I think it was Buttfinger Ground Girls.
I think it was the Buttfinger Chronicles.
Chronicles, that makes sense. I couldn't figure out the last part of it.
Oh, yeah.
But Chronicles makes more sense than Ground Girls.
Yeah, that doesn't. That's nonsense.
Now, Buttfinger Brown Girls, that makes sense.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Anyhow.
One of my hobbies.
Marie notes Jenny seems tired, and Marie offers to go do girl things with Jenny for a bit. We see that this includes Jenny getting waxed while Marie drinks coffee.
There's nothing there.
We see Jenny getting a pedicure for a bit as Marie sits off to the side and chats. We see a similar scene with Jenny getting her hair done and then another of Jenny in a tanning booth.
Oh my God. She's going to blister and peel in there. You can't put her in that.
We cut to one of the long-haired guys who works there sketching a picture of Jenny naked. This is James, I guess.
Yeah.
He asks her if someone can be too perfect. He gets up to reposition Jenny in the chair, and soon his fingers are all over her snatch, talking about how perfect she is. He licks and kisses her body all down her legs and up her chest. He kisses Jenny for a bit as he fingers her and rubs her breasts. He then climbs onto the chair and shoves his cock into her mouth and starts thrusting into her.
Jenny stares at the camera, traumatized.
There are a couple shots that end with the camera shaking and getting blurry, and I think one of them, the nearby fake wall, may have started falling down before it cut away. We see him fucking Jenny doggy style a bit, and then Jenny on top of him in a sitting cowgirl position as he's in the chair. We cut back and forth between these positions a bunch, and in the doggy position, he's definitely not inside of her.
Mm-hmm.
After a bit, we see James sitting naked in his chair, and David walks in and asks if he got what he needed, and he says that he did. So we then see Jenny in Marie's office, and David walks in asking if Jenny's okay. Apparently, her shoot freaked her out a bit and got rough.
Oh.
So Marie says,
like wrapped in blankets and stuff.
So Marie says they should just go home, and nobody thinks this is a big deal, despite Jenny covering her face with her hands and seeming traumatized.
Yeah.
I'm confused and concerned.
Yeah. No one is regarding Jenny, I think.
Perhaps the title itself is ironic.
I think I'm beginning to think so. Yeah. Go on.
We see the chubbier photographer guy taking pictures of Jade outside. He has her take her top off and then takes a picture. Then he says, "That's good." Jade says, "You only took one picture, but apparently the magazine just needed one." And as he says, that was the perfect one.
Hmm.
We cut to David and Jenny at his place. This Brad guy shows up and joins them. And then there's another knock at the door and Jade shows up. But she's also joined by James, DJ, Marie, some other dude. And now it's a party.
Yeah, there's a lot of... This threesome got real crowded.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to have an orgy with... With,
three is a throuple, but this many is a crowd.
That's true. Yeah, I thought we were going to go into a Carlos Tobolina type situation where it just resolved in an orgy with this doll.
Honestly, that would have been better than what we got, because instead we just have a lot of inane chatter.
Yeah.
We see them chit-chatting. They're talking movie talk this whole fucking time.
I didn't recognize
They're talking about the goddamn Smurfs.
Yes.
All kinds of shit.
In a corner, Jade and Jenny are fingering each other and making out. We get a camera shot up Marie's legs, getting a shot of her vagina from behind. Marie and David chat as Brad massages and kisses Jenny in the background. We get more inane conversation about a Cleveland steamer, and then everyone turns to see Brad fucking Jenny against the wall. We cut away to more chatter. Murray's flirting with Jenny, and Jenny already has lipstick on her face. We then cut to the bathroom, where apparently Jenny's peeing, because she's sitting on the toilet and we get a pee sound effect.
Yeah. That's the... Why? why that? Murray's, no voiceover, but no other sounds out of her.
But pee.
Well, that's because she's real. We need to establish that.
This movie's for perverts.
It is. Marie's fixing her hair in the mirror. They talk about how some guy, and I don't know who, has a romance novel look to them. More bullshit talk, and we cut to Marie with her leg propped up on the toilet, with Jenny going down on her on the floor.
Her extendo tongue.
Yeah, at one point, Marie bends over and Jenny's eating her ass from behind as Marie's face is more or less pressed against the toilet seat.
Nice.
The camera guy's yammering about movies more. We see Marie leaving the bathroom as the camera guy goes into the bathroom. As he walks in, he says, "Jenny, you are such a slut." And he's pulling his pants down as we cut away. Brad's talking about Smurfs and stuff to Marie, and there's no context for any of this.
No, just, do Smurfs bleed? They have blue blood. Well, how do you know Smurfs have blue blood?
They ponder such important questions as the color of Smurf squirt. DJ comes out of the bathroom, seemingly having been satisfied with Jenny. Note, that's not the camera guy, so that's two guys in a row.
Okay.
In the bathroom with Jenny.
Yeah.
After Marie.
Oh, yeah, she's just taking all comers in the bathroom.
Yeah. James and the camera dude are talking about poses and photography and shit. This is all annoying shop talk, and I hate it. The camera guy leaves to get his camera, and we see Jenny looking at James through a beaded curtain. James notices her and joins her behind the beaded curtain. We then cut to the aftermath of this party. Liquor bottles and dildos everywhere, bras hanging from the ceiling. David's collapsed on the couch with Jenny in his lap. Then there's a knock at the door. It's Jenny's mother knocking, asking what's going on in there.
Is Jenny's mom a doll?
And then we get credits.
Is Jenny underage?
Those are great questions that
they really are.
We will only know the answer of if we watch Regarding Jenny 2.
You're never going to find it.
No, because I'm not going to try that hard.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't either. So that was the movie?
That was the movie, yes.
Well, I think they should have scrapped her for parts.
Yeah, the IAFD has a listing for Regarding Jenny 2 from 2011. So it was 2 years later.
Wow.
Hmm.
There's no information about it other than
the same people
listing Karen Fisher and Marie Madison in it. Well, Karen Fisher, I don't think was in the original.
No, we got Jade Houston. Is Jenny in it?
Well, the IAFD didn't list Jenny in the original.
Okay. Okay, so we have to make assumptions.
We could only hope. Regarding Jenny 2 isn't on the IMDb, so who knows?
I think Jenny is, I think if they'd made, like, if they, in regarding Jenny 2, they should just recast her like they do with, like, you know, like Pretty Peaches and
yeah,
stuff like that. I think that's the way to go. And I guess one day maybe we'll see that, but that day is not today.
I guess not, but we're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll give our final thoughts on Regarding Jenny, A Real Doll Adventure. So what's it gonna take to get you home with me? The bank I'll surely break. This hit don't come for free. I gotta have you, I don't wanna waste you. I'm dying just to taste you, trying not to chase you. Just let me kiss you, don't wanna miss you. I can't resist you, I'll slit my wrist to be the bud, the back, but best believe that I'll have you screaming the thought like feedback. On my own, have you mowed on the wishbone phone. Home alone, it's on, it's on, it's on.
I'm gonna put together a Regarding Jenny playlist on Spotify.
Please don't. The world doesn't need
this
it.
This is like a waste of time.
No, it's the only use of my time that I would find useful. Well, I found one of the bands, Best of Seven.
Great.
You heard it. It sounds like if Bush fucking sucked. Like, way more than they do.
Well, Jeremy, it's finally that time. It's time for
the Raincoat Review.
Oh, man. What a film.
What a film indeed.
I think we can all agree on that. This one is... I'm glad Anthony sent it to us. I don't want to besmirch him at all.
No, I think this is a treat.
What he did was the Lord's work.
Yeah, he did the right thing sending this to us, even if it was just awful. I don't know. It reminds me a lot of, like I kind of mentioned earlier, a shot on video horror film.
Yeah.
Where there's a lot of, like, downtime of just people talking about useless shit.
Yeah.
Meandering about.
Usually about horror movies if it's a shot on video horror movie.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. Or, was it like Xenophobe, the Xeno experiments or whatever we watched? And like 80% of that was just like them walking around talking about the plot.
Yeah, those Canadians.
Yeah, stuff like that is what this mostly reminds me of. But it has a real doll in it, and that's something I haven't seen before. So that in and of itself gives it a novel factor.
Yeah, but I thought to myself, man, this would be awful if this was a normal porno.
Yeah, this would be on the level of whatever that one, like, Beulah's Holiday or whatever the fuck that was, that weird British Roman thing. Yeah,
Claudia's Holiday, I think, or Claudia's Vacation.
Something like that. It was a holiday, and I hoped it was Christmas, but it was a summer holiday because they're British, and that's what they call vacation.
Well, they're French, but they're dubbed with British English people.
Oh, yeah. Well, Europe calls it a holiday.
Yeah. They all went to Spain.
Yeah. They all
Ibiza.
Went, yeah, they went to Ibiza. But, no, yeah, without a doll, this would be maybe one of the worst things I'd seen in a while. But the doll gives it a strange quality that makes it more like something bad, like The Room, where there's just sort of a quality to it that it's bad, but you're kind of held entranced at the same time.
Yeah.
This is similar to that. It's not as good. There's not, you know... There's not going to be a revival of this where people throw, like, real doll parts at the screen or anything, you know? But, yeah, mostly overall, it just, It's more or less just, this is one I'm glad I experienced, but I wouldn't recommend that you, you know, really go out and search for it.
Yeah.
The music sucks. The acting's pretty bad. The plot, where it is nonsensical, more or less. There's no setup for any character or any scene. There's a lot of bad writing.
Yeah, yeah.
If it reminds me of anything, like, plot-wise, it's like some of, like, the... Just some of, like, that early, like, exploitation stuff where, like, an innocent girl ends up in a degrading porn industry.
Right.
And that's in here, but it seems, like, minor, and also it just gets completely blasted over by the fact that she's a doll that no one cares if she's traumatized or not.
Right.
So, it's a weird mishmash of a thing. I'm glad someone out there chose to make one, and this is apparently like the return to this. This says the first film in over a decade to star in Abyss Creations' Real Doll.
Right.
So there's one from like 1999 or something that we're not seeing. Now, that makes me think that this is the best they could do. I'm going to, at the end of the day, I'm going to give it a 2.5, and the 0.5 is, actually probably 1.5 of it is held up by the doll.
Yeah.
You know, Jenny, she drank herself to death making this film, so they had to recast her for the second one, and I think we should just honor her memory, and, you know, rub one out on her rubber ears.
Well, I agree. I think that this movie was pretty awful.
Yeah, it was bad.
In every way. It was, let me put it to you this way. I watched like half of it. No, I watched like 20 minutes of it on Monday,
yeah.
And I was like, I can't watch anymore. And then I watched 20 more minutes on Tuesday,
yeah.
And I was like, I can't watch anymore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I'm like halfway through now, at least.
Yeah.
And then I didn't watch any more until Thursday.
Yeah.
No, Friday. Friday, I was like, all right, I need to force myself through this.
Yeah, it's gotta happen.
And I finally did. And
I couldn't look away.
Yeah, we watched it together, and it was, I think if I probably would have been in a similar situation as you if I'd tried to watch it alone.
That's fair.
It's definitely
something. So you don't have to experience this by yourself.
Yeah, you don't want to experience this by yourself.
No, watch with a friend.
Yeah, see it with a friend. yeah, it's, the acting is, like, I have a passion for low-budget movies that are just kind of duct-taped together and barely functional.
Yeah.
But the people in this were just so irritating. I think it's more so than the acting itself or the writing itself.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just they were insufferable to listen to.
Yeah, I don't know how much writing there was. I guess a lot of it was probably just them ad-libbing.
Well, by the fact that, like, they repeat the same lines over and over again, I think they just kind of had an outline to just be like, hey,
it's
50
degrees there now.
it's basically like how they do Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Except nobody here is any good at their job.
No, yeah.
but, yeah, I'm also going to give this 2.5 stars. It was only 2.5 stars because of how weird and Real Doll filled it was. If this was a normal porno and Jenny was just like a person in this exact same spot, this would be like 1 star if I'm being generous.
Yeah. Being really nice, I would give it a star. And as I've said before, it doesn't even live up to the title.
No, nobody's showing any regard for Jenny.
Yeah, and if they're not going to show any regard for Jenny, there should at least be on-screen consequences for that.
Yes.
But I guess we do see her descend into alcoholism.
I guess that's true.
So, I don't know. There's a lot going on in this film. It's deeply textured, but it's not very good.
It's deeply upsetting is what it is.
I will say that I kind of liked how they tried to be creative with their shots. That was nice.
Yeah, that's true.
They tried. Like, that first scene where Jenny's on the couch and that red thing.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that's kind of cute, what they're trying to do.
Yeah, they're trying. They pose her around a little bit. They make some efforts, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's no mannequin.
Well,
no mannequin too.
I'll just say this. If you go on the Real Doll website and pick out a Real Doll of your own these days, be ready to spend $6,000 or $7,000 minimum.
And don't forget your raincoat.